The COVID-19 pandemic is raising a lot of questions about leadership and about the role of America in the world. Our next guest has some thoughts about that. In his latest book, Andrew Bacevich writes about the period between the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and Donald Trump's election in 2016. Bacevich is a retired Army colonel who served in the Vietnam War and the Gulf War. His son Andrew was also in the Army. He was killed in Iraq in 2007. The new book is called The Age of Illusions, How America Squandered Its Cold War Victory, and Andrew Bacevich joins us on Skype. Andrew Bacevich, you talk in this book about the Cold War being a turning point in our history. For many Americans, it is now a distant memory. So remind us what was so important about the Cold War.
Well, it's almost impossible to remember now in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. But I think the Cold War really gave definition to American life. It defined our purpose. Our purpose was to defend freedom and resist communism. And therefore, when the Cold War ended, this is what I argue in the book, Americans were left kind of wondering, well, what are we all about now?
And that we were right all along, that our way of life has to be the best one for everybody.
Well, that's what the conclusion of the Cold War seemed to demonstrate. This induced, I think, among many Americans, especially Americans in the policy world, a conviction that now the future was ours to define. And indeed, we were smart enough to figure out exactly what that future was supposed to look like.
But you write that the Cold War produced ruinous consequences. It fostered folly and waste on a colossal scale, notably in an arms race of staggering magnitude. It bred hatred, hysteria, and intolerance, creating conditions rife with opportunities for demagogues. It warped political priorities, subordinating the well-being of people to the imperatives of state security. It provided a pretext for murder and mayhem, even if the victims tended not to be citizens of the United States or USSR.
Yes, and as I was writing this book in 2019, that is the judgment that I arrived at. More important than my own judgment was the perspective of American leaders back in 1989. And that perspective was one that viewed the Cold War in simplistic and Manichaean terms, and therefore concluded that when the Berlin Wall fell, that something great and wonderful had occurred, and that wonderful occurrence was going to define the future, or perhaps more specifically, would position the United States to define the future. And that was the attitude that informed the post-Cold War presidencies of Bill Clinton, of George W. Bush, and of Barack Obama.
And when you look at those presidencies in this book, it doesn't sound like you look very fondly on any of those presidencies.
Well, the book is, in a sense, less about the actors, these presidents. So the problem is not with Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. The problem was with the ideas that shaped their presidencies. I mean, one of those ideas was a belief in globalization, a belief that globalization was going to make everybody rich, when in fact what we know is that globalization has created vast disparities of wealth. I mean, a second idea that came out at the end of the Cold War was a belief in American military supremacy, that we would be able to address threats and dispose of them expeditiously, when in fact what actually occurred was a pattern of interventionism that led to us being involved in terribly wasteful, misguided, and mismanaged wars. I also argue that the end of the Cold War gave rise to a deeply defective conception of individual freedom that basically led to the abandonment of traditional moral norms and also detaching the idea of freedom from any sense of collective responsibility. That too, I think, has contributed to negative outcomes that we see in American society in all kinds of ways, whether we're talking about drug epidemics or morbid obesity or the destruction of the family, and so on. And to complete the thought, my interpretation is if you want to know why an incompetent like Donald Trump could become president in 2016 is because a sufficient number of people believed that he was going to overturn the post-Cold War system. To put him in office.
Well, you say that President Trump did not create the conditions in which the campaign of 2016 was to take place. He demonstrated a knack for translating those conditions into votes. You write, here the moment met the man.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that he's a demagogue, but demagogues have their own talents. And this particular one, I think, saw the opportunity to exploit the policy failures of the post-Cold War period so as to advance his own political ambitions.
So do you think that in a post-Trump era, whenever that happens, that the U.S. is going to get on what you would see as the right path? Or do you think that this is bigger than any one president at this point, and you know, we've moved in a certain direction and there's no turning back?
Well, it's certainly bigger than any one president. I mean, I think once we get through this pandemic, there will be a great opportunity for reflection and reconsideration. Now, that was reflection and reconsideration that should have happened in 1989 at the end of the Cold War and didn't. So now we have a second chance. And I'm struck by the fact that, you know, here we are approaching the election of 2020, and the Democrats seem likely to nominate somebody who voted for the invasion of Iraq, just as they did in the election of 2016. And I point out that small fact as simply one indication of the absence of learning and reflection. I mean, how can it be that in 2020 the Democrats are going to nominate for the presidency somebody who voted in favor of the most catastrophic foreign policy decision of the last quarter of a century?
So if it was Biden versus Trump in 2020, which it looks like it probably will be, which side would you be on?
Well, I'll probably do what I did in 2016, and that is to say vote, but not vote for the candidate of either major party.
What about the presidency in general, Andrew Bacevich? You make the point that over the last few decades, the role of president has gotten much more powerful than it used to be, and not for the better.
Well, I mean, especially after the end of the Cold War, we began to think that the president of the United States was the president of the entire world or the president of the universe. Again, it could be, ironically, a benefit of this crisis will be that we now see the error of entrusting our well-being in the hands of any one person. The person who supposedly is our leader is utterly incapable of leading. And I think that tells us something about rethinking our political system, returning to the principles of federalism, of trying to ensure that, and it'll be a steep climb, but trying to ensure that the Congress once more plays the role intended by the framers of the Constitution. You know, this notion that the president is the be-all and end-all has always been a deeply flawed idea, and that is particularly the case today.
Let me just finally bring you back to the moment that we're all experiencing right now. What would you want to see from the United States in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, I mean, I think that the pandemic itself completely absorbs our attention, and understandably. So I don't think it's realistic to expect that in this moment, the American people are going to pay much attention to anything other than surviving this moment. That said, once this moment passes, I would hope that there would be a mood of reflection on many topics, one of which would be our political system, one of which would be the role that we imagine we should play in the world. So this could turn out to be a major turning point in American history. And I would hope that it would be a turning point that would lead to something better than we have experienced since the Cold War ended.
That is Andrew Bacevich, whose new book is called The Age of Illusions, How America Squandered Its Cold War Victory. You can read an excerpt at hereandnow.org. Andrew Bacevich, thanks as always for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much.